Welcome to Confessions of a Closet Romantic, your little shame-free romantic recess where we have fun gushing over the best romantic TV shows, rom-coms, movies, and books on a different theme each episode. This is Poppy, and in this episode, it's bro culture through a queer lens in the fabulous rom-com Bros.
Cause love is not love, our love is free. I let you be you and you let me be me.
All that I could remember about the movie Bros after it came out last fall was that it got great reviews and was really popular with audiences, but it was considered a huge box office bust. So it finally made it to streaming, and I watched it for the first time recently. And then I watched it again because I adored it so much. I think the real joy and achievement of this movie is representing some of the absurdities and challenges of queer dating and relationships in a fully realized way, confident of occupying a space in culture so fully that a fairly big budget rom-com can feature characters just like you with all of the smarts and style, affection, warmth, and pride of your community intact. Here's a clip from an interview that Billy Eichner, the star and co-writer of the movie Bros, did at the release.
It wasn't there immediately. You know, at first I didn't know if I had a story to tell. Nick Stoller brought the idea of doing a gay romantic comedy to me, but acknowledged that he wasn't gay and wanted to build one around me. But once I sat down to think about it, it turns out I had a lot to say. And I was actually excited to say it. You know, I think I've gotten to do a lot of fun things over the years, but they were very comedy focused. You know, I wasn't ever asked to be multidimensional or to really show different sides of myself for the most part. And so I really, you know, cherish the opportunity to do that. I think we get a lot of gay characters and a lot of LGBTQ characters where, you know, the characters sort of are walking on eggshells around what real gay life is, and I didn't want to do that. My main goal was to make the movie as funny as any other Judd Apatow movie or Nick Stoller movie. Wanted to make it a real laugh-out-loud movie that everyone, straight people, queer people, could relate to, but I also wanted it to be honest and authentic about our lives. I thought that was equally as important.
Let's start with the title. I absolutely love how this movie explores bro culture, specifically through a gay lens, how bro culture infiltrates even there and acts as a kind of caste system for who is fuckable. Bros is basically a story about two gay opposites. Bobby, a charmingly volatile, somewhat neurotic, intellectual podcast host, played by Billy Eichner, and Aaron, a hot, ripped slut of a commitment-phobe lawyer, played in perfect casting by Luke McFarlane. This is an actor very familiar to Hallmark movie fans, and this movie never misses an opportunity to poke fun at them. In this scene, Bobby and Aaron are on one of their first dates in a park surrounded by buff guys playing some sort of football or some sort of game. Aaron does not want to lie on the blanket that Bobby has carefully laid out for their picnic. When you hear slaps and grunts in this clip, they are having a mock struggle fuck in public that the surrounding men initially mistake for an actual fight. Bobby and Aaron are so turned on that they start making out right there before taking it private in the most hilarious way.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is going on?
What do you mean?
The other night, leaving me at the museum like that, and then you didn't return any of my texts.
Well, you texted me like 15 times. It was a little scary.
Okay, I need you to be honest with me. You're not attracted to me, right? It's okay. I can handle it. I won't be insulted. I just need to know. Just be honest with me so I don't waste my time. I'm not your type, right?
Bobby, it's not that. You are a very attractive guy.
Okay, well, thanks. So why are you being so weird and passive-aggressive?
Look, you're being very loud, actually.
You like dumb guys.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. I see what you like. You like these big, like, fucking bro-y, like, meathead idiots. Oh, is that what you like, Aaron? Yeah, you want to play with the big boys, huh?
Oh, look, Aaron, they're fighting. You want to be in the fight?
You want to be back in the old high school locker room, huh? With your hockey friends, like, stealing a glance at fucking Josh, right, huh? Yeah, you like that?
Hey.
Yeah, I can be tough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can be tough like your boys.
You like to do?
Yeah. Oh, that's what you like, huh? Oh, now you're on my blanket, bro.
Yeah, get on my blanket, bro.
Oh, now you want on my big blanket?
Now you want to be on my big blanket?
I can be aggressive. Oh, there you are. There you
are. I can be. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
My place is near here.
Let's go the fuck home.
When I fall in love.
It will be
forever.
Like that?
Can I take that? Yeah, that's what you like. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're dirty.
The brutally honest and funny script was written by Billy Eichner and Nicholas Stoller, who directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He wrote and produced The 5-Year Engagement. It avoids most stereotypes that might pander to a straight audience, but not completely. And when they're there, it's definitely an us versus them feeling, though, that gives the story an edge, an authenticity, intimacy that heteronormative rom-coms often lack. When we first meet him, Bobby is way overdue for a queer eye for the rom-com soul makeover.
How wonderful. It's a thruple.
Oh. Well, we'll be fine. We really trust each other enough to do this.
Just be careful. I know a lot of guys who've done this, and it's a slippery slope. These things are fragile. And, you know, we're men, okay? Men dating men. Love is not love. We are horny and selfish and stupid. I am, too. You know, someone called into my show the other day and asked me why I'm still single. I said, you want to know why? Because I've been gay my whole life, and I don't trust these gay motherfuckers. I support them, but I don't trust them.
And are you happy?
Who's so happy all the time?
A lot of people.
Well, I really don't trust those people.
Bobby has a wonderful found family and lives out and proud and is not afraid to share his opinions about who he is and how the world, often poorly and shamefully, responds to that.
Thanks for coming. We're convinced Brian's gay, and I think it's good for him to have his gay uncle around.
Oh my God, of course. I'm always here to be a good gunkle to my gay nephew.
Uncle Bobby, will you read my report? It's about Freddie Mercury.
He's obsessed with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh my God, I love this. And like that movie, does your report take a story about one of the great gay icons and make it about that one time he maybe had sex with a woman?
I thought Freddie Mercury was bi.
He had a wife.
Yeah, well, so did Jesus, and he was gay. This is excellent and an improvement on the film. Good job.
What are those gifts from The Hangover?
Nothing. This guy I went out with won't stop texting me.
A guy? Really? Like a Grindr guy?
No, shockingly, I actually met this one in real life.
Bobby! That's fantastic! You think you're gonna see him again?
No. He told me he prefers group sex to one-on-one because one-on-one is too intense and makes it a whole thing. We went on one date and we had sex with three people. Gay relationships these days are like a clown car. Oh, there's another one. Oh, look, another one. Oh, another one? It's ridiculous. Plus, I don't think I'm his type.
How do you know?
Because I know. He told me he likes country music and his favorite singer is Garth Brooks. What kind of gay man says his favorite singer is Garth Brooks? That scares me. Plus, I see the guys he likes. They all look exactly like him. They're all these, like, big, hot, straight-acting dudes. It's just not me.
Well, is he a top or a bottom?
What does that have to do with anything?
Maybe you're both bottoms and that's a problem.
I'm not always the bottom, Edgar. Oh my God. Gay sex was more fun when straight people were uncomfortable with it. Fucking Schitt's Creek.
You know, I love the memes, but yeah, let's stop talking about Schitt's Creek, shall we? When the action starts, Bobby has just gotten his dream job as curator of a new LGBTQ plus history museum in New York. He's passionate about queer history and the historic struggle to love who you love, but he just can't solve his own romantic struggles.
For me, the cold and awkward grinder hookup is often followed by a walk around the city by myself. Anyone else do that? It's weird because you still had like this romantic encounter, even though it was odd or unsatisfying and you don't even know the person, you're still feeling this kind of post-sex warmth and wistfulness. So I usually walk around for a bit and I kind of coast on that warm feeling as long as it lasts. And between the weird sex with strangers that you don't like and conversations with friends you love that you would never have sex with, you know, you cobble together a version of a romantic single life. And it's good, you know? It works. It's a lot more than what a lot of other people have in this world. And you try to remember that.
Then one night, he meets the ripped, hot, adorable Aaron at a gay bar, and there's an instant connection. But they're both ridiculously reluctant to call their attraction anything until they realize their mutual commitment phobia, among other things, makes them perfect for each other.
Hey, what's up? Hey, where'd you go?
I don't know, nowhere.
Guys, live your lives, please. Oh,
gay guys are so stupid.
Oh my God, I know. Gay guys are usually like the absolute smartest or like the dumbest people I've ever met. We've been smart enough to brand ourselves as being smart and clever.
I've hooked up with guys and afterwards I'll make a joke or I'll say something sarcastic. And the guy does not understand that I'm making a joke. Literally does not understand satire.
I know, and straight people think we're all smart, but a lot of these guys are dumb as shit.
Yes.
Oh my God, the abrupt jump cut after this is so rom-com trope turned on its head and NC-17 hilarious. But they definitely get off to a rocky start because what's a rom-com without a rocky start to the romance?
The Flo Chicago Cub?
Yeah, his husband just sent me that.
Wow, they are extremely hot.
Yeah, Mike and Doug, they're these roided out meatheads. They're not the brightest, but they're really sweet. Do you want to go over there?
Wait, are you ditching me again to go fuck the baseball cosplayer and his husband?
No, I'm not ditching you. I'm inviting you.
Why don't you just come upstairs?
I don't really do the whole relationship thing very well.
Relationship? When did I say I wanted to be in a relationship with you? We literally hung out one day.
Yeah, but if I go upstairs, it becomes like a whole thing. Whatever, we should just go over there. It'll be fun.
I'm not gonna go, but you should go. Can I ask you one thing, though? Why did you text me if you didn't want to hook up? I'm not angry. I'm just honestly curious.
I didn't say I didn't want to. I guess I had fun talking to the club, and I wanted to say, hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? So basically, you texted me when you were feeling hungover and lonely in that moment, but you're not actually into me, but you went on the date anyway. Why are gay guys so weird? Actually, you know, we're not weird. We're just constantly catering to our own whims and needs, which can change on a dime, but we never even think about the emotional consequences of the other person. Anyway, it's been a blast catering to your whims, and honestly, I can't really say anything about it because I do the same thing to people all the time, so. Fun
okay.
Day.
And, yeah.
Have fun with those guys.
Okay, bye.
Oh my God. God, who can't relate to that feeling of frustration that this person you really dig just might not be the right match? Bobby is sharp, often prickly, jaded, intolerant, and judgmental, especially of himself. You can tell there's a soft core underneath, though, that longs for acceptance and love, longs to put down identity for a minute, but our culture just won't let him do that very easily.
Next caller.
Whatever happened to that movie you wrote?
Oh, yeah, the movie. These big movie producers came to me and said,
We want you to write a rom-com about a gay couple. Something the whole world would enjoy. Something that a straight guy might even like and watch with his girlfriend. I said, something a straight guy might like? Like what exactly? Am I gonna be in the middle of some high-speed chase and then all of a sudden fall in love with Ice Cube? Am I gonna get butt-fucked by Jason Momoa while we're both, I don't know, worrying about a volcano? And he said, Bobby, we just want to make a movie that shows the world gay and straight relationships are the same. Love is love is love. I said, love is love is love. No, it's not. That's bullshit. That is a lie we had to make up to convince you idiots to finally treat us fairly. Love is not love. Our relationships are different. Our sex lives are different. And he said, Bobby, we were just trying to make a nice movie about nice gay people. And I said, well, there's your first mistake, because not all gay people are nice. And I got up and left.
Anyway, it's totally fine. I'm not the right person to write a rom-com anyway.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm 40 years old. I've never been in love. I've never even had a serious relationship, which is fine. You know, I love my life. I love my freedom. I love my independence. But, you know, probably means I'm not the right person to write a love story. In exciting news, I remain very horny, and tonight I am being honored at the LGBTQ+ Pride Awards.
Bobby is such an intense but lovable character with basset hound eyes, but then human sandpaper in social situations where a little more finesse or subtlety is required. Of course, this is what Aaron brings to the table in perfect rom-com, You Complete Me fashion. Aaron's vibe is that gorgeous, soft, easygoing blanket that we all need to smooth our rough edges.
It's Aaron. How's Grindr?
A dream. I spent 45 minutes taking a picture of my own ass. How are you? How was group sex with that faux Chicago cub?
It was fun. They invited me back tomorrow. Their surrogate is pregnant and they're having a gender reveal orgy.
A gender reveal orgy? James Baldwin would be so proud.
LOL. I woke up laughing about you so rudely calling me out on my shit.
Well, you deserved it, bitch. Honestly, I was impressed. You may be more emotionally unavailable than I am.
Well, maybe we can be emotionally unavailable together.
Maybe we can be emotionally unavailable together? Who's writing your texts, Maroon 5?
Fuck off.
Kidding. We can go out. Are you asking me out?
I'm down for whatever.
Yeah, same.
Cool.
Sounds good.
So, tomorrow? Or we can do whenever?
Yeah, I can do whenever and I can do whatever.
I don't care what we do.
Yeah, me neither. We can do whatever and we can do it whenever. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that definitely works.
Great. Whatever, whenever.
Cool. Whatever, whenever. GIF of Michael Scott dancing.
That's good. Office GIF? This person isn't gay. Heart. Oh, no. Unheart. Thumbs up.
Peace.
Peace. Later. Can't you heart my later, bitch? Bye.
Bros features hot, sexy people doing really funny things. And it is so enjoyable with all the Easter eggs and nods to rom-com royalty like Nora Ephron, When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, and Moonstruck. The tone is a hybrid of, hey, straight people, this is how queer life really is. We live our lives out loud and proud. We've got a lot of challenges that you all don't, but we have a lot more in common than you realize. Oh, and by the way, could you all please stop saying love is love? And okay, the movie takes the opportunity at the museum opening to give us this amazing, inspiring monologue. But you know what? I'm a sucker for inspirational runs through the streets of Manhattan after a character realizes they've been a complete fool, a freaking cornball, and completely awesome sob fest of a love song, actually sung by Billy Eichner, in a style that's an in-joke for his lover, standing in a crowd of people, accompanied by a classic rom-com montage of all of their most romantic moments. Yes.
We are not a monolithic group. We are some of the smartest and most self-reliant people you will ever meet. And we are so stupid. And we are a total mess. And we are great.
We've been around since the beginning of time, of course, and yet it still feels like we're at the very beginning of being able to tell our own stories. In many ways, I think we're still getting to know each other, really.
Now, I'm just a boring old cis white gay, but one thing I have learned from my trans and bi and non-binary family is that happiness for all of us comes from staying fluid, staying open to change, open to being more than just who you thought you were or more than what other people assume you are. So this is a toast to all of us. We've come a long way. And there are a lot of people who deserve to live long enough to be here tonight. And we are here, and they are not. And we are very lucky. We are very lucky. I have no complaints. Hey.
Hey.
Sorry, one more thing. Sorry, hold on. I'm gonna do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So, this is a little special something I wrote for tonight, and I didn't think I would actually have a reason to sing it. And I haven't sung in front of people in a very long time, so forgive me. But tonight is about love, and we've seen a lot of tortured gay cowboys played by a lot of straight actors over the years. So this is a love song from one gay cowboy to another, inspired by everyone's favorite LGBTQ+ icon, Garth Brooks.
We met at the club, Mariah Carey remix on. All the boys in harnesses, you didn't recognize the song. You took me up to Provincetown, where for years the deviant boys have run around. 'Cause love is not love, our love is real. And I'm nervous as hell to tell you how I feel. 'Cause after all these years of running round, it's nice to have somebody slow it down. 'Cause love is not love, our love is free. I let you be you and you let me be me. And we can wrestle on the bed, I love when you pin me to the ground. But if I tell you how much I love you, boy, will you stick around? And you can lift me up, and I will calm you down. I've made a lot of noise, but only you can hear me now. 'Cause love is not love, this love is real. I hope you feel the same, 'cause this is how I feel.
Okay, so love is not love. We've learned. We've laughed, we've cried, we've seen two gorgeous people have hot sex and express their love to each other and get their happy ever after in the most authentic way that perfectly suits who they are, not cultural constructs. We have seen a most perfect rom-com. Thanks, Billy Eichner. If you enjoy this podcast, I hope you'll share this episode and tell a friend about it. For more information and show notes, visit confessionsofacloseteromantic.com. To all of my listeners all over the world, cishet, queer, non-binary, trans, and beyond, love might not be love, but I'm sending all of my love to you.